Hey, everybody. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I'm so grateful that you are here. Before we started recording, a question came up about the differences between the editions. Since I have my collection open right now in front of me, there's four different books in front of me, but there's actually another edition, which is the Urtext book. I will do my best. So the question was just, what's the difference? I will do my best. My explanation is not going to be perfect, but from what I remember, when A Course in Miracles was first taken down by Helen Schuckman, obviously she had handwritten notes. She took down the notes in shorthand. From there, she dictated her notes to Bill, who typed up, you know, what she was saying. From there, after some editing, they showed an early edition of A Course in Miracles to Hugh Lynn Casey, who is Edgar Casey's son. Edgar Casey, I'm sure most of us have heard of. He's an acclaimed, famous psychic. So this early edition of A Course in Miracles is known as the Edgar Casey editions, which technically, I believe, are the Sparkle edition and the original edition. They're very, very close, if not identical, to that Hugh Lynn Casey edition. But that edition went on to be further edited with Ken Wapnick, and they did more editing, took out a lot of references, took out anything that was personal to Helen and Bill, and that editing process, they used, you know, every time they edited, they used the previous version to edit from. They didn't go back to the, like, original material and use that as a reference. So the Foundation for Inner Peace edition is highly, highly edited when Ken Wapnick was involved. And in, I believe, 1999, there was a lawsuit saying that the course had already been disseminated, as that, I think, again, I might be getting this detail, I'm a little fuzzy, but I don't know if it was the Hewlin Casey edition or another edition, but they said it was circulated, it was out already, therefore it should be public domain. And essentially, Ken Wapnick and the FIP maintained the copyright on their numbering system, but the other editions, the other material, became in the public domain. So the FIP edition is the most edited, and this is the book that was released to the public first. Then, when people found out, you know, oh my gosh, there's more material, we want to get our hands on it, these other organizations started publishing other editions of the course. Hence, I think the original edition came out. I'm just going in the order that I actually bought the books. Actually, even before the original edition, I got a copy. I still have it. It's so thick. It's probably the equivalent of like a ream and a half or two reams of paper. It was a photocopied and bound Course in Miracles of the Urtext, which is one of the, you know, like you see a lot of their corrections on the typed, you know, words that they typed out with a typewriter. So that's the Urtext. I believe the original edition followed. Again, timing-wise, I might be getting that a little bit off. Sparkle edition came out, and then most recently, the Circle of Atonement edition came out, and Robert Perry basically spent 10 years going back to Helen's handwritten notes and taking all of that original material and restoring it into the text as she transcribed it with some minimal editing by him and the folks at the Circle. So that's the best. I'm hoping I'm straight on all those details, but the most complete, the metaphysics in all of the editions is the same. The material in its most complete form would be in the CE or the Urtext. But the CE, I think, is the, you know, the Circle of Atonement edition, I think, is the, you know, it's the easiest to kind of read because it's a pretty purple book with lovely footnotes that help, but the Urtext has footnotes in it as well. So, yeah, I hope that helps. Okay, let's do...
Thank you. That helped tremendously.
Good.
Appreciate that.
I'm glad. Thank you so much for asking the question. When people ask me what edition I recommend, I always struggle a little bit because, number one, you can't go wrong. Just ask the Holy Spirit and go with whatever. I spent most of my life studying the FIP, or most of the time that I've been studying the course since 98, studying the FIP edition. I found then that going into these earlier editions where there's more material just really enhanced my experience and my practice of the course. And now studying with Circle of Atonement, I've been just finding my heart really, really connecting with the interpersonal and heart-centered spirit of the course. The course really is very heart-centered. Many people have reported that that's what A Course of Love, which was scribed by Mari Perrone, that that's what that is helping them with. That they say that the course brought them into their heads and A Course of Love is bringing them into their hearts. I'm actually finding that the CE and listening to Robert Perry speak is bringing me into my heart. So I figured I would just throw that out there too. All right. Any comments about that before we meditate? All right. Let's turn within just for a few moments and finding our willingness to release and loose the world from all we thought that it was. It's been a very, very triggering and intense week in world events, on the news, in the media, things happening in the States. And here we are coming and joining to remember that only truth is true. Only truth is true. And we give the Holy Spirit our willingness to see differently and to remember the love that we are and that unites every single living thing. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. The Holy Spirit knows the truth. The Holy Spirit remembers the truth. We don't. And so it's our small task to find our willingness and to continually turn to Holy Spirit, being willing, and being willing to allow the Holy Spirit to extend through us. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming to our perception of right here, right now. All right. So I'll just read the page references briefly. If you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 542 at the very end of the page. See how the conflict of illusions disappears is how it begins. So Sparkle, page 542. Original edition by Course in Miracles Society is chapter 23, part two, paragraph number 15. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is chapter 23, part one, paragraph number 9. And in the CE, Circle of Atonement edition, it is page 711, paragraph number 9. Okay. So this whole section has been talking about, my eyes go to the first sentence of the last paragraph that we read last week, conflict must be between two forces. And therefore we think we are in conflict. We think there's this conflict between, you know, the ego and Holy Spirit, but one is an entire illusion, and God, Holy Spirit, cannot judge, condemn, persuade, force, do anything like that. God, love, just is and is constant. So this struggle that we imagine that we're in is not true. So let's begin. See how the conflict of illusions disappears when it is brought to truth. For it seems real only as long as it is seen as war between conflicting truths, the conqueror to be the truer, the more real, and the vanquisher of the illusion that was less real, made an illusion by deceit. Thus, conflict is the choice between illusions, one to be crowned as real, the other vanquished and despised. Here will the Father never be remembered. Yet no illusion can invade his home and drive him out of what he loves forever. And what he loves must be forever quiet and at peace, because it is his home. And you who are beloved of him are no illusions, being as true and holy as himself. You know, I can't help with just everything that's been happening in the States this past week. I can't help but think about what this paragraph is saying. It says, it seems real only as long as it is seen as war between conflicting truths, the conqueror to be the truer, the more real, and the vanquisher of the illusion that was less real, made an illusion by defeat. Thus, conflict is the choice between illusions, one to be crowned as real, the other vanquished and despised. I'm sure if we feel into this, we can all touch that feeling, you know, that comes up when we're dealing with politics, when we're talking about politics and seeing, you know, a perspective, an action that's completely opposite to something that we might do. As we said previously, we haven't said this in a while, but Democrat, Republican are two sides of the same ego coin. They're two sides of the same ego coin. And both sides believe that they're 100% truth. They believe that they're right, right? And so if you, like, think about that as you're reading this paragraph, it's so apparent that, you know, this struggle is, it's like the ego made up Democrat, Republican in order to keep itself going. That conflict is the choice between illusions, one crowned as real, the other vanquished and despised. This is profound. Here will the Father never be remembered. Wow. So when we are, you know, sucked into that conflict, and I'm not saying that we don't honor where we are, and if we feel called to do something, you know, we listen to that, but in that conflict, in that judgment, and I'll say this, I'll just give this quick example, that I know some people in my life who are 100% okay with everything that is transpiring right now in the country, meaning they're okay with, like, cruelty being expressed and hatred being expressed. And I found myself judging them harshly, very harshly, to a point, I'm going to do a podcast about this when I release it again, but to a point where I felt so crappy, I forgot how much I judged. The next day, my day was so out of sync, like everything that went wrong. I don't have bad days much, maybe like a few a year. And it felt like one thing after another, just everything was going wrong. When my husband was on his way home, he called me. I was on the way to the beach to go see him, but he got off early. He was heading home. I got home, and I'm sitting in my backyard, and these peach trees that we have planted this year that already have peaches on them, a squirrel knocked all of the baby peaches off the tree. Like, it was literally one thing after another that was going wrong, and I had to stop and say, okay, wait a second. I am the dreamer of this dream. What happened? What did, you know, I went back to page 90, which is page 90 in the FIP edition. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace, that prayer. And I realized that I went into judgment. It was from judging those others, doing exactly what they're doing, but in a more acceptable, you know, manner. Like, everybody who agrees with me would be like, oh, yeah, they're terrible, they're wrong, they're horrible people, they're evil, blah, 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 blah. I was judging them in the same way that, you know, that they're judging and, you know, with whatever form it is that they're judging. So I recognized that that's where I went wrong, and you better believe I did have to, like, go for a walk and burn off some steam, but I recognized what happened. I said, I am choosing again. And that is when things started turning around again, and, you know, things got back into the flow, you know, that out-of-sync feeling, that, and I was frustrated, that frustrating feeling shifted. So I just felt moved to share that story. Can anybody relate?
I'd like to share something. that I read today, and it's very short. It is futile to try to bring the truth to illusion and to think that we could bring some light into the darkness. It is impossible. We must bring the darkness to the light. Healing is about bringing our thoughts and beliefs to the light of the Holy Spirit. It is to give up control over our own thoughts and is a positive use of control. And that's...
Where's that from?
This is actually from Sarah's Reflections. She does a... this is A Course in Miracles Edmonton. Every day, she does her reflections on the workbook lesson of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is she insightful. But I just thought, because it is, it's futile. We want to bring light into the darkness. It's never going to happen. You know, if only, trying to change it is
just it's about bringing
impossible.
The darkness to the light.
It's about bringing this whole thing to the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I told you last week about my knee experience and taking these thoughts and handing them over to the Holy Spirit. Well, I've continued to do it this week. And tonight, I walk the entire 3 miles for the first time in a couple of months without any pain.
Yay.
I'm like, yeah, this. But the temptation,
awesome.
You know, with it's funny because I'm very easy. It's very easy for me to hand all of this over to the Holy Spirit when it comes to the knee, but when it comes to politics and what's been going on this past week, that's another whole story. So, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you, Paula. Oh, thank you so much. It is always about bringing the darkness to the light, looking into our own mind. And I also want to do a podcast about this at some point with everything happening in our country with racism and the division there, the importance of being willing to look into our own minds, even, you know, with a topic like that, where it's a very sensitive topic and one that can, you know, make us feel, make people feel very defensive, particularly white people like me, like, what? I'm not racist, you know? And yet the things that we can look at in our minds surrounding privilege and surrounding other things, it's like, oh, my God, like I did have a thought like that in my head. And there it is, you know, the opportunity to take the darkness to the light and to have true, true healing. It's remarkable.
This the thing with the children, I think why it's so hard for me is because when I was a child, mm-hmm. My father said they never severed the umbilical cord. I was very, very attached to my mother as a young child. So that brings up a lot of fear in me when I think of little children being separated from their mother, you know, because that would have been that would have been the end of me, I'll tell you. At any rate.
No, I can relate to that too. I'll just finish my thought, Meg, and then the floor is yours. Probably most of you know that I had very severe separation anxiety as a youngster, and so, of course, you know, this is coming up for me, too, watching this as well. And just one thing, again, like, that we've got to remember, and this actually at the moment now, the memory that's coming up when the Sandy Hook school shooting happened, that horrific school shooting where all those young children were shot and killed,
mm-hmm.
there was a story, and I really wish I could find it, where the mom said that her child, when mom was like, okay, you know, have a good day at school, I'll see you later, the child was like, actually, no, you won't. And mom's like, what do you mean? Of course, I'll see you. And the child was like, no, you won't. And the mom had no idea what they were talking about, and then that happened. And so, you know, the picture looks horrific, but one of the ways that, of course, and again, I'm not saying this in place of taking action where we feel called, but the way to heal is to be willing to join with the truth in another through, you know, the truth in us, and that this is all a giant ego ploy to keep us believing in the reality of the world. Because look at what a hook this is. You know, this is a big one, I think, for most all of us, except for the people that I referenced before who seems to be okay.
I know some of them, too.
Meg.
Yes, hi. Where I am right now, and let me just share this with you, I am a person of African-American nationality or race or whatever you want to call it. And the place where I am right now is to not to realize that being a victim or seeing someone as the victim and the victimizer, just like you said in the beginning, it's all part of the same coin. It is all still part of believing in the dream. Because actually where I am right now is to transcend that and to realize that is not a reality. That's like the superimposition of something on what actually really is. So to buy into that, to buy into I'm on this side or I'm on that side, or I have to try to get the middle side, the side of the, you know, equilibrium, that's still part of the dream. The dream is beyond any of that. And the thing that really strikes me, only me, very sharply is the fact of rising above that, but not me rising above that, because I know that's just the spiritualized me trying to rise above that. Mm-hmm. So the way I look at it is the whole thing about the quiet mind, because that's when the Holy Spirit, through grace, works in you, because you have a quiet mind, which is an allowing mind, and there's no agitation, which means you're not dwelling on opposites at all, because whether you're on one side or the other side, there's still like the beginning that you were reading is conflict. No matter if you think you're on the good side or the bad side, it's still conflict and it's still a part of the dream. So to be able to realize, to let go of that dream, to surrender, means that there is no more ego, there's no more Meg. So all of those things are mute points. They don't exist anymore. So something is still here. Some entity is still here inside looking out. But Meg is not any longer. So even though everything is still going on, because you can't stop things from going on, because people are really locked into their stories, unfortunately. So all of that's going to continue going on here. But this is the place where I am now to get to the point where I can have a quiet mind and not buy into any story on either side.
Yeah. Meg, thank you so much for sharing all that. You said so many things that I want to comment on, and the first being that it's not me rising above that, because you said that perfectly, like when as spiritual students, we can say, oh, you know, it's just an illusion, it's not real, and just kind of like brush it off the table because we're trying to just rise above it. What is that but a form of the spiritual ego? Because we've looked at it as real already, and, you know, especially if it had some kind of, you know, emotional charge to it. And so it's not me rising above that, but it's this different self, which you articulated, and I want to jump on this idea, you know, it's no more Meg, you let go of the ego. the Course says, you know, what does this cost? It costs the whole world you see, meaning you'll never see the world the same way. And I shared, if you go to my, I think I shared it on my personal profile, but it's public, my Corinne Zupko Facebook profile, I shared an image from, it's a screenshot from a YouTube video of Kimberly Cartwright, who is a black woman who said she no longer identifies as a black woman. I think those were her exact words. And she basically articulated a lot of what you just said, Meg, that she used the example of crossing the river. Here on this side of the river, you know, it's all ego. We have our ego personality that we're identified with. We're identified with a story. When we go into the river, you know, you can't touch. This is where, like, you're in faith. When you come out the other side, that quote-unquote person or personality is completely different than the ego personality that we're identified yeah. with. So she has crossed that river, it seems. Her explanation, she didn't get into, like, specifics about current events, but in terms of what's happened this week, but, you know, everything is, you can draw from what she's saying. Everything that she shared is in alignment with what you just said, and I found it to be very profound. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
This is about a shift in identity. It's not about the stories turning out a certain way, you know, that we want them to. Of course, the quote-unquote happy dream is something that comes, but it's not where we stay. We can actually go beyond that. If we get hooked and want to stay in the happy dream, guess what we're identified with again? We're identified with the story, the person, the body, whatever, however you want to say it. It's about, you know, really, truly allowing ourselves, our capital S self, to be known now. We still walk the world, but we smile more.
Yes.
Thank you, Meg.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's read another paragraph.
May I? This is Jana. Corinne, may
sure.
I just say something? You were talking about the Sandy Hook. My daughter and I happened to meet Scarlett Lewis, who was a mom who lost Jesse Lewis, a six-year-old little boy, in the Sandy Hook. And she was at my daughter's school a couple months ago, and we've become casually acquainted. And in her talk, such an amazing story. And I would really recommend anyone to go to her son. She has a foundation, and you can go to her website. It's called Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation. And it's a beautiful website. And one of the things that I will forever take with me from her talk is that we can only think one thought at a time. We can change thoughts very quickly, but we can only think one thought at a time. And so her whole premise, and this is a mother that has gone through, you know, a tremendous grief, and learning to forgive. She's got beautiful videos on that where she says, you know, the way we change the world is to change our thought and to choose love. Every time we're not choosing love, to stop and redirect that thought, one thought at a time. And with whatever's going on in the world, I have to go into something so much deeper because, and I woke up this morning with this thought that right now, if we're upset and angry over what's going on in any arena, whether it be political, in our lives, whatever, we're kind of in the foam of the ocean, and we can never see clearly from the foam, ever. We can never see clearly. And I'm getting to the point where if I'm upset about anything, I hear that inner teacher voice going, you're never upset for the reason you think, and you do not have the correct perception, because if you did, you would not be upset. And I think as more love is coming into our dream, whatever is not love is bubbling up to the surface. And yeah. since we're all one, forgive the visual, but I think it's perfect. It's this emotional pus charged hate coming up that we as individuals, the only way that we can change it from a society standpoint is individually choosing for love at every opportunity and not hating this, the president or Congress or this person or that person. I had a situation where I was really struggling to forgive someone because I was struggling to forgive them. And I asked, why am I feel like I'm willing, why am I having such a hard time forgiving? And the information that came back to me was because you've made it real.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot forgive something that you've made real. And I'm just going to leave it with this because I think it's so powerful. It keeps coming back to me. It's in my edition, it's 298. I do not know what anything, including this, means. So that would include politics. That would include the president. That would include immigration. That would include anything. I do not know what anything, including this, means. And so I do not know how to respond to it. And I will not use my own past learning as the light to guide me now.
Beautiful. Beautiful. What is that from a lesson? Or is that from the text that I do not know anything famous means?
That's from the text. In my Foundation for Inner Peace, it's chapter 14. What's X1? I don't know.
X1 is 11.
Okay. Chapter 14, 11, 6, I think it is.
Okay, cool.
It's on page 298 of the Inner Peace. But that's
awesome.
That's so much wisdom for me. Whenever I'm upset about anything, I do not know what anything means, including this.
Awesome. That was beautiful, Jana. Thank you so, so much for sharing that. I love your example of the foam in the ocean. That's so true. When we are upset, angry, or in judgment, if it's an attack thought in any form, we're in that foam, and we cannot see clearly. I love how you said that. Beautiful. Thank you. Wow. Oh, okay, let's read another paragraph. The stillness of your certainty of him and of yourself is home to both of you, who dwell as one and not apart. Open the door of his most holy home and let forgiveness sweep away all trace of the belief in sin that keeps God homeless and his son with him. You are not strangers in the house of God. Welcome your brother to the home where God has set him in serenity and peace and dwells with him. Illusions have no place where love abides, protecting you from everything that is not true. You dwell in peace as limitless as its creator, and everything is given those who would remember him. Over his home, the Holy Spirit watches, sure that its peace can never be disturbed. That's beautiful. Open the door of his most holy home and let forgiveness sweep away all trace of the belief in sin that keeps God homeless and his son with him. I like how it says the subtle, if we pay attention to the subtle wording, let forgiveness sweep away all trace of the belief in sin. In other words, allow forgiveness. It's something that we allow to happen. We have our small part. We don't actually know how to forgive because we're going to make things real all the time, but there's something in us that does know where our small part is to, you know, give everything over, to release it, to turn to God, and to let that thing happen in our mind where the Holy Spirit, you know, exchanges that grievance for a miracle. We allow forgiveness to happen. I also love how it says, illusions have no place where love abides, protecting you from everything that is not true.
I have a thought.
Yes, Susan.
I love all this, and I love that you're addressing what has probably been on our collective minds
mm-hmm.
Tremendously this week.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I can find my thought. It just went out again. Oh, my God, I lost my thought.
It'll come back.
I'm so sorry.
No problem. Never come down. Jot it down. And
I know I should. Okay, I will just let somebody carry on, and I will be quiet, and it'll probably float up. At least I hope it will.
It will. Deidre, did you want to add something?
Yeah, Corinne, I was just going to say, like, what keeps coming up for me as I'm listening to you talk and everyone, all the beautiful souls on the call tonight, is that what comes up is, like, what the Course is saying about love and forgiveness is either 100% true or not at all. So the whole dichotomy that we've been talking about, Republican versus Democrat or Trump versus these children that are all over the news right now, you know, we can't say these children are innocent while we're damning Trump and vice versa. And it's really easy to kind of take a spiritual bypass and say one way is the right way and the other way is the wrong way, and then you're actually knee-deep in that conflict that we've been discussing tonight. And so I've really went quiet during these news broadcasts and everything that was going on, and I really felt that this, all of this is asking us to expand. Do we really, really, truly, 100% see all of us, all of the brotherhood, the sonship of God, the teachers of God, whatever words you want to use, as one whole and complete entity? Do we really choose that? Do we really, really choose that? And that to me is the choice of expansion that we're being asked to make right now. Is, are we really one? Do we really believe that's true? That's what we're being asked.
I love that, Deidre. I love that because it always helps me to get that broader perspective of, you know, okay, so what's the broader lesson that we can take from this? And what you just articulated, this is challenging us to look, I love how you said that, do we really see all of us as one? Do we really? Where do we see the separation? We're bringing it up to the surface to look at it and to take it to the Holy Spirit in our own minds.
And
I love that.
That's why we can then be down on our knees. And what I'm going to be saying right now is kind of, it's confusing because everything in that we see in the world of form is really a symbol anyway. Like, in terms of what the Course is talking about. But in that sense, we can really get down on our knees and thank Trump and be grateful for Trump, because unless we see where our one mind is split, where there is the belief in conflict, then true healing in terms of Christ vision that the Course is talking about cannot be possible. So it's something to be grateful for. And that doesn't mean that, like Corinne is saying, like if we feel called to take some sort of social action in the world, whether it be, you know, donating for these children or whatever, that we take those actions. But we're still looking at the thoughts in our mind and asking for those to be brought to the surface so that the truth is coming forward out of that. Because we're all going home, or we're all home, but we have to do it together or not at all.
I thought of my thought. My thought came back.
Awesome.
Deidre, and your idea of the wide, wide embracing love and inclusion is fantastic. And I think it may be possible. I mean, I don't know if it's possible for me. I think my thought was, I have felt anxious and outraged and all sorts of things, not only for the children and their parents, but because I felt as if I had to feel those ways in order to share the misery and be responsible. I don't know if I can articulate this, but it's like the idea of being totally expansive and loving and allowing. I feel as if I'm not doing my part. And I know that's a false thing, but I'm taking the steps. I'm crawling toward your greater truth here. And I get snagged on the idea, like, for instance, my son has anxiety. So when he has anxiety, until very recently, and with the help of Corinne's book and other things, I have realized that feeling anxious with him doesn't do any good. It's not the truth. It's really nothing, and it's actually hurtful. But I feel disloyal. There's the word. I feel disloyal if I go into a center of peace. And so I'm just saying that, and I don't know whether anybody has a magic antidote, because I'm not where you are, Deidre, even though I hear it and I believe it and it's the best possible. But I still feel this sense of loyalty to get down there and get all filthy with the rest of the muckers.
I am so grateful. Did you finish your thought, Susan?
I did finish my thought. And if you got it, thank goodness, because I couldn't put it into words very well.
I got it. I got it loud and clear, because I've been feeling something similar coming up, that if I'm, you know, doing this work with the Course, that I am betraying mm-hmm. the world. Mm-hmm. I'm betraying mm-hmm. others. And the Course speaks to this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it at this moment, but there's a part, probably more than one part. I don't know that I'm going to find it right now, but we made a pact with one another.
Mm.
Unconsciously, you know, let's say before we incarnated into these bodies, we made a pact that we're going to shut out God and that this dream is going to be our home. And mm-hmm. so when we go against that, you know, we start to say, I've kind of had enough of this. Like, I want another way. Like, I'm willing to go to that bigger place. What comes up but the world in some form, or some, you know, friends or groups of people are going to rise up and say, oh, no, you know, that, like you need to look at this, and you need to, you know, the injustice, and you need to fight, and you need to make them feel guilty. They're bad. It's the ego's hidden, shoot, I can't remember. I'm going to have to look for this, but it's this hidden agreement, this hidden pact that we have made with one another that we don't, that we're afraid of betraying. And mm-hmm. that, to me, that's been coming up for me, and that's what I'm hearing you articulate in that word about, you know, feeling disloyal, that loyalty that we have to, mm-hmm. yeah. And the Course also says that when you do not share a thought system, you are weakening it. And those that believe in that thought system will perceive it as an attack upon them. So they'll perceive that you're attacking them because you don't share their thought system. So this is the essence of Kimberly Cartwright's talk that I referenced earlier that I shared on my Facebook wall, is that it is radical and heretic and maladjusted to go against that voice in the world that says, you know, this is unjust, they need to pay. It is radical to stand up and to feel loving and to feel peaceful in a world that does not, you know, want forgiveness or healing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So we are being asked to take a radical stand, to be heretical, to be, you know, socially, to be, what's the word to use? It's from Martin Luther King's speech. It's like nonconformity, basically. Maladjusted. We need to be maladjusted to the teachings of the world and be happy and peaceful and you know, and really strengthen these ideas, because these ideas go against the world as we know it. And this picture, I just want to, like, again, step back for a moment, because this picture is ugly. It is painful. But this is nothing new. It's just taken a very, very public form, because there's a lot of people that would love to probably crucify Trump. Obviously, this is on a big scale, and it, you know, it affects a lot of people. But, I mean, look at human trafficking, like just all the horrible, horrible things in the world. The world has always had these horrible things in it. You know, I do believe that we are slowly evolving, but the purpose of the world is to present a horrible, horrible picture. So we'll keep believing in it. We'll keep, you know, believing that the attack thoughts in our mind are justified to make our brother guilty, and then we can be innocent. We're going to try to keep that game going. So I just the fact that you acknowledge that feeling of, like, feeling disloyal, just the fact that you see that is beautiful, because the next step you can take is say, Holy Spirit, I'm feeling it. You know, I'm feeling that hidden agreement. Is that the quote? I'm going to search the hidden agreement really quick. We made that hidden agreement, and guess what? You're sensing it, and now you can take it to Holy Spirit and be willing to look at it. That is not in the
Oh, that's so good to hear. Oh, boy, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things connected with it. Social media is bombarding us. We are asked to march, to protest, to write to our senators, congressmen, you know, all this stuff, and send money. And my husband and I do a lot of stuff like that, and I'm beginning to draw back and saying, can the work be done without me marching? Or can I just, I don't want to do all that anymore. I'm not sure if it does any good on that plane, but also on the other, it doesn't seem, it seems more like a form of, even the most peaceful march sometimes seems like a form of attack, because we're over here and you're over there, et cetera. I mean, what you're just affirming that, and maybe it's time to sit in quiet, loving meditation and do nothing.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the only one who can undo it. We can't undo this.
Because it's
the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of our wrong decision if we will let him. It's the only answer.
The Holy Spirit
can
is outside the ring of fear.
Can I add something here that
sure.
is part of this thing that I read earlier? Jesus tells us that every time we experience our shifting moods and changes in our feeling state, every altercation in the conditions of the body, all the shifting concepts we hold, and all of our changing perceptions, we are by definition not experiencing the truth. As God created you, you must remain unchangeable, with transitory states by definition false. These transitory states can't be true if God created the unchangeable. We are the ones that choose to suffer pain, to grieve loss, to fear attack, to experience sickness, and to die. God chose none of this for us. Thus, it is our wish and not God's that is so, but we readily dismiss the idea that we chose it at all. Mm. Our experience of this world seems to include both what is true as well as what is false. In fact, we hold that the false is true, which is how we experience our reality here as a body living in the world. If there is anything here that we see as true, there is a part of truth we determine must be false. Again, Jesus tells us, if we see it this way, then truth has lost its meaning and seems entirely inconsistent. While we blame this state on God, wondering how he could have created this world of suffering and grief, these contradictions were introduced entirely by us. Whoa. He's really placing a lot of responsibility on us.
Yeah, and it is our.
That's getting back to what Corin said at the beginning of the call, that it's all part of it's the same coin.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same, whether it's this side or that side, it's the same coin. And
we're
the whole coin
is
part of the dream.
And I'm telling you, that's where I started to realize with this knee. If it is our thoughts alone that cause us pain, what are we thinking that's creating it? And giving those thoughts to the Holy Spirit is the only answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that really works.
The Holy Spirit is outside the fearful thought system, and so the Holy Spirit is our way out of hell.
I heard a couple voices.
Is that Jana?
Yeah. May I just expand on this, because this is such a powerful conversation. What everyone is saying is so inspired, and I appreciate it so much. But I also want to bring up, I love the part where she said that it about innocence. If we see the little children innocent and Trump hateful, we know we're in the dream of the ego.
Mm-hmm.
All have to be innocent, or none are innocent.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, the other part that I thought was so powerful is, it was Sue, when you talked about your son that has anxiety. My daughter has a beautiful, she just turned 16, has extreme anxiety as well. Mm. And I'm starting to, when she goes into meltdown, I would, in the past, I would get anxious myself and not know what to do, and I would get fearful, and I would just start praying, show me what to do, because I don't know what the hell to do. And it started coming to me, an understanding of what it means more, I still have a ways to go on this, of what a miracle worker is. And we are all called to be miracle workers in our life, in others' lives, and in the world. And what I started understanding with her, and I think it goes beyond in all areas of the world, is the answer is, and you touched on it, Sue, is I don't look at my daughter as this weak, helpless thing that suffers from anxiety. That will not help her.
Mm.
She is a powerful spirit that has decided to experience this for reasons I have no understanding of, but I trust that she's being the same light that's guiding her light that is guiding me and the rest of the world. And in the same fashion, I hope everyone can hear this, because I think it's so truthful. Those little children are also mighty spirits, and we don't do them a service if we're not miracle workers and see beyond the dream to their magnificence.
Mm.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jana. That was perfect. I do want to read the final two paragraphs so we can close out this section, but Deidre, did I hear you again?
Yeah, I just was going to comment really briefly on something Sue said earlier about not sort of knowing when to step forward and take an action towards something versus staying still and doing nothing. And what comes to mind is, like, when it's divinely inspired action, it's like, for me, the experience of it is there's something otherworldly that almost takes over for me and is doing the work through me versus, you know, it's not the personality self that is driving anything. It's almost like, you know, when you sit down to the computer and something is writing the words for you, I always just ask that spirit work through me, and it's almost like, you know, if I'm donating money to something, it's not out of any type of story of victimhood or good guys or bad guys. It's more of a divinely inspired choice, because as light workers, we're still going to be experiencing whatever it is that we're experiencing here in this dream realm, whatever. So we can't just, you know, completely shut off. You know, there are times we are going to be asked to take action, divine action, but I just ask for myself that Holy Spirit use me, and that always feels better for me, and I just felt inspired to share that.
That workbook lesson, I will step back and let him lead the way, is exactly what you're talking about, Deidre.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes in the morning on my way to work, I just keep repeating that to myself. And I'm always amazed when I remember to do that, what a good day I wind up having. You know, when I'm not making those decisions by myself. And it's kind of subtle, really, the way that works.
It is really subtle. And it's almost, you know, there's part of the Sunship's mind that's almost afraid of trusting in that, because we've kind of learned to numb it out. So we can, as a consciousness, doubt that guidance a lot of the time. But if we just open up to allowing that guidance to work through us,
yeah,
you know, that's how resources present themselves. That's how money shows up. That's how choices get made, and there's enough for everyone. So I wanted to share it because part of the spiritual bypass a lot of the time is doing nothing, and it's important that our actions be divinely guided, that we allow Spirit to work through us, because we still do have, you know, a divinely inspired assignment here.
It takes trust,
it
you know,
does.
And that, and then when you start to see the results of allowing that to happen, that's where you gain the trust that, really works.
I am going to put this call, not just, you know, archived where it usually goes on my website, but I'm going to make the audio file, I'll probably put it in my Dropbox, and then I'm going to share the Dropbox link. I'll share it on social media as well. If you feel moved, obviously, to listen to it again, but to share this call with anybody who might benefit from it, who you know, maybe another course student who's been struggling over the past week, this conversation has been so incredibly rich, and everything that everyone has shared has been so helpful. So please feel free to I'll email that out, hopefully, I'm going to say maybe tomorrow, Tuesday at the latest. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to read the final two paragraphs, and then we're going to conclude for the night. So I'm going to read just both of them at once. How can the resting place of God turn on itself and seek to overcome the one who dwells there. And think what happens when the house of God perceives itself divided. The altar disappears, the light grows dim, the temple of the Holy One becomes a house of sin, and nothing is remembered except illusions. Illusions can conflict because their forms are different, and they do battle only to establish which form is true. Illusion meets illusion, truth itself. The meeting of illusions leads to war. Peace, looking on itself, extends itself. War is the condition in which fear is born and grows and seeks to dominate. Peace is the state where love abides and seeks to share itself. Conflict and peace are opposites. Where one abides, the other cannot be. Where either goes, the other disappears. So is the memory of God obscured in minds that have become illusion's battleground. Yet far beyond this senseless war, it shines, ready to be remembered when you side with peace. Oh, so I feel like everything that we talked about, I had thoughts coming up of just things that people have said as I read these last two paragraphs. Illusion meets illusion, truth itself. And we are being asked to side with peace, to be willing to side with peace and be those heretical and you know, maladjusted to this world and side with peace. So thank you all so much for everything they shared. This is an incredibly helpful call, very profound for me, just listening to what everybody said, and I'll send this recording out as a shareable link if you want it and if you want to share it. So I love you all. Thank you, everybody,
thank
so
you,
much.
Thank you,
everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye.